Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Tune in each morning for the Fox News Rundown, brought to you by Yuma International Airport, home to 4 car rental agencies that are open early and close late, giving you more bang for your buck. Yuma International Airport, we've got your travel covered.
The best advertising in the world is the most memorable. That's the goal of all advertising, to make your business the name to remember when it comes to the goods and services you sell. This is why the best advertising on the planet has always been done with the long game in mind. Most are consistent advertising campaigns with multiple messages deployed over a 2 or 3 year period. This takes having a solid, steady plan and being consistent in your themes. Learn how to make your advertising into a long-term campaign at YumaAdvertising.com.
State purpose of visit.
Well, looks like the old tractor's gonna kick the bucket this year.
Searching internet for new bucket.
No, I wanna check insurance rates.
Sale located. Right now, get 20% off new bucket with code It's Raining Buckets.
Robots don't know you. We do. For more than 80 years, Farm Bureau Financial Services has relied on relationships to get you the insurance coverage you need for your farm or ranch. Find a Farm Bureau agent at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
AM 560 KBLU, Russ Clark with you, and of course, Sean Garner just walked in because it's Life, Death, and the Law with Deason Garner Hanson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Russ.
Nice to see you.
Hey, it's good to be here, and we've got a guest here. Mr. Howard Blitz has returned from vacation.
What?
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, I get let out.
Not nice.
Thank you all for allowing me to be here again.
Yeah, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So on today's show, we're going to talk about a couple really pressing principles and topics that have been, you know, we've heard all over the news and the media for the past year and a half. And one of those things is the economy. The other is COVID. And they are intertwined, inseparable. So let's start out talking a little bit about COVID. So, Russ, we've got a couple of videos here.
Yeah, we do. The first one's 19 minutes long. You didn't give me a start place on that.
Okay. So let's start with the other one, the shorter video.
Okay.
And it talks about, this is Dr. Peter Mercola. And he is a doctor at Texas A&M. He is the most published professional and physician in his area of practice. Okay. He is a cardiologist and an epidemiologist. Although he is probably the most qualified doctor in his field and deals specifically with issues that COVID directly addresses, he has actually been shunned on social media, and he's been black booked on YouTube. Now, recently, YouTube is starting to lift some of those.
They blocked me on one show.
Yes.
Right, because of misinformation, because I didn't agree with the CDC.
And so he was tagged putting out misinformation, but yet he is known around the world as one of the leading experts in this field. And so we have a clip. We're going to start out.
It's about a minute and 45 seconds. Minute and a half almost, yeah.
Yeah, so let's start out with that clip and see what he says about social media and COVID-19.
It's not playing for some reason.
That's okay. We'll let you figure the technical difficulties out while we talk a little bit about Dr. Peter McCullough. What he has been espousing from the very beginning is that doctors, they traditionally help patients by diagnosing an illness, looking at the symptoms, and then treating the illness with
in terms of treatment,
a variety of medical
US.
Procedure.
And all of a sudden,
so here we go.
When you came by, I thought, oh, because, you know, Didier, Raul, has had a lot of problems. He's had a lot of problems, political problems.
Well, there's been enormous suppression of any information on early treatment. So there's been suppression in the medical literature. There's been reprisal for doctors who are trying to help patients. We have seen horrors in academic medicine in the last year. We saw fraudulent papers published in journals that were retracted. Those papers were designed to frighten other doctors and patients regarding use of commonly available medicines. And I can tell you, I felt compelled to step forward. I'm the most published person in my field in history. I've chaired more data safety monitoring boards of therapies applied in a variety of illnesses than any of my contemporaries. I've seen and examined and cared for COVID-19 patients. I can tell you, I am supremely qualified to give direction on how to handle this pandemic. Patients with COVID-19 over the age of 50 who have medical problems need early ambulatory treatment to reduce hospitalization and death. And to withhold that or to suppress it through the medical literature, the popular media, or through reprisal against physicians is immoral, it's unethical, and it's illegal.
Well said.
It is unethical. It's immoral. It's illegal. It makes doctors violate the Hippocratic Oath.
Yep.
And what he's saying is there is treatment, but we haven't heard anything about the treatment. In fact, we've heard quite the opposite.
When you say we have heard, but not from mainstream. We've heard from a few doctors on Frontier Doctors. You remember Dr. Lee Heeb?
Yeah.
She's going to be on my show on Thursday.
Yes.
She's very outspoken. She's one of the Frontier doctors.
Yep.
And we've heard of certain doctors in the minority group that have actually really had a lot of success with this. But what happens is the media demonizes anybody that goes against the narrative.
They take you off social media.
And the question is why? Why would you not just let this free flow of information be out there and let individuals decide for themselves whether they want to be treated or whether they want to go home and wait till the illness becomes so severe that they're hospitalized and then death becomes much more of a possibility?
Does your doctor come up with a reason?
He does. He talks about what's going on here. He doesn't talk about why the media and the mainstream narrative is the way it is, but he does point out that it is that way and that there is very specifically treatable things that we can do to not only survive COVID-19, but be healthy and be economically successful as societies throughout the world. And so let's pick up the next video.
You want to start from the very beginning?
No. On the next video, let's start at 4:30 or at that point.
As here, you're COVID positive. Go home. Is there any treatment? No. Is there any resources I can call? No. Any referral lines, hotlines? No. Any research hotlines? No. That's the standard of care in the United States. And if we go to any one of our testing centers today in Texas, I bet that's the standard of care. I bet that's the standard of care. No wonder we have had 45,000 deaths in Texas. The average person in Texas thinks there's no treatment. They honestly think there's no treatment. They don't even know about these EUA antibodies. You heard from a 90-year-old gentleman who got bamlanivimab. Terrific. Where's the focus? There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now? This committee ought to know where all these monoclonal antibodies are. They ought to know where all the treatment protocols are. They ought to have a list of the treatment centers in Texas that actually treat patients with COVID-19. So I led the initiative. The second paper was published in a dedicated issue of Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine. Now I had 57 authors, including Dr. Urso, Dr. Emmanuel, lead doctors in Houston, San Antonio, all over. And it was another worldwide paper. And now we have it updated, integrated. So yes, we use drugs to affect viral replication. The antibodies are terrific. We can use intracellular anti-infectives in that box. We use corticosteroids and inflammatory drugs. The best anti-inflammatory drug is colchicine. You've probably never heard about it. In the largest, highest quality randomized trial, over 4,000 patients, double-blind randomized placebo-controlled trial, there's a 50% reduction in mortality. No word of it. None. Complete block to anybody, colchicine. How can that be? How can that be? And then the most deadly part of the viral infection is thrombosis. So I have always treated my patients with something to treat the virus, something to treat the inflammation, and something to treat thrombosis, just as Dr. Urso had. And I have very, very sick patients, and I've lost two. But I have to tell you, what has gone on has been beyond belief. How many of you have turned on a local news station or a national cable news station and ever gotten an update on treatment at home? How many of you have ever gotten a single word about what to do when you get handed the diagnosis of COVID-19? No wonder. That is a complete and total failure at every level. Okay, let's take the White House. How come we didn't have a panel of doctors assigned to put all their efforts and stop these hospitalizations? Why don't we have doctors who actually treated patients get together in a group and every week give us an update? Why didn't we have that? Why didn't we have that at the state level? Zero. Why don't we have any reports about how many patients were treated and spared hospitalizations? From all the, I listened to 6 hours of testimony today. Zero. Zero. We have a complete and total blank spot on treatment. It is a blanking phenomenon. At least in the United States, there's some heroes. Now, the American Society of Physicians and Surgeons took the lead. They're the group. They have identified 35 treatment centers in Texas. They know who they are. They have emergency hotlines. They helped Dr. Hall put together this very brief pamphlet, but there's more, an extensive one. We can pass it around to everyone that at least gives people half a chance to find out about information. Okay? This is a complete and total travesty to have a fatal disease and not treat it. Now, the National Institutes of Health and the Infectious Disease Society of America started putting out guidelines on the treatment of COVID-19, and to this date, they nearly exclusively deal with a hospitalized patient. The two papers that I have published as the lead author and supported by wonderful people by Dr. Urso are the only publications in the peer-reviewed literature that tell doctors how to treat COVID-19 as an outpatient based on the support of scientific information. The only two. The home treatment guide by the American Physicians and Surgeons is the only source of information available to patients on how to treat COVID-19 at home. The only source. So what could be done right here, right now? There's going to be more people that die in Texas, and it's an absolute tragedy. How about tomorrow? Let's have a law that says there's not a single result given out without a treatment guide and without a hotline of how to get into research. Let's put a staffer on this and find out all the research available in Texas, and let's not have a single person go home with a test result, with their fatal diagnosis, sitting at home, going into 2 weeks of despair before they succumb to hospitalization and death. It is unimaginable in America that we can have such a complete and total blind spot. I blame the doctors for not stepping up. Where was the medical society stepping up and putting effort on this? How about from the federal and state agencies? There never was a single bit of group collaborative effort to stop the hospitalizations. Nobody even kind of thought about it. Bob Hall had me on a teleconference in April or May, and we're like, wait a minute, how come, where's UT Southwestern? I'm a graduate of UT Southwestern. Where's A&M? Where's the rest of the universities? How come we're not stopping this? How come we are not stopping this? But it gets worse, because in the paper I published in December of 2020, you know what he did? I had a terrific doctor from Brazil. We went through country by country by country and just asked the question, what are other countries doing? When was the last time you turned on the news and ever got a window to the outside world? When did you ever get an update about how the rest of the world is handling COVID? Never. What's happened in this pandemic is the world has closed in on us. There's only one doctor whose face is on TV now. One. Not a panel. Doctors, we always work in groups. We always have different opinions. There's not a single media doctor on TV who's ever treated a COVID patient. Not a single one. There's not a single person in the White House task force has ever treated a patient. Why don't we do something bold? Why don't we put together a panel of doctors that have actually treated outpatients with COVID-19 and get them together for a meeting? And why don't we exchange ideas? And why don't we say how we can finish the pandemic strongly? Isn't it amazing? Think about this. Think about the complete and total blind spot. So what happened? I can tell you what happened. What happened in around May, it became known that the virus was going to be amenable to a vaccine. All efforts on treatment were dropped. The National Institutes of Health actually had a multi-drug program. They dropped it after 20 patients, said we can't find the patients. The most disingenuous announcement of all time. And then Warp Speed went full tilt for vaccine development. And there was a silencing of any information on treatment. Any. Silencing. Scrubbed from Twitter, YouTube. Can't get papers published on this. You can't. We can't even get information out in our own medical literature on this. There's been a complete scrubbing. So this program has been one of try to reduce the spread of the virus and wait for a vaccine. And when we vaccinate, all efforts have to be on vaccination. And probably if I had 4 hours of vaccination on here. Think about it as we sit here today, the calculations in Texas on herd immunity. The calculations are we're at 80% herd immunity right now with no vaccine effect, 80%. And more people are developing COVID today. They're going to become immune. People who develop COVID have complete and durable immunity. And a very important principle, complete and durable. You can't beat natural immunity. You can't vaccinate on top of it and make it better. There's no scientific, clinical, or safety rationale for ever vaccinating a COVID recovered patient. There's no rationale for ever testing a COVID recovered patient. My wife and I are COVID recovered. Why do we go through the testing outside? There's absolutely no rationale. I'd encourage this committee to actually look at what's being done and ask, is there any rationale? Is there any rationale for anything? Listen, there's plenty of COVID recovered patients. Let them forego the vaccine and let people who are clamoring for it get it. But at 80% herd immunity, in the vaccine trials, fewer than 1% in the vaccine and the placebo actually get COVID, fewer than 1%. The vaccine's going to have a 1% public health impact. That's what the data says. It's not going to save us. We're already 80% herd immune. If we're strategically targeted, we can actually close out the pandemic very well with the vaccine. But strategically targeted. People under 50 who fundamentally have no health risks, there's no scientific rationale for them to ever become vaccinated. There's no scientific rationale. One of the mistakes I heard today as a rationale for vaccination is asymptomatic spread, and I want you to be very clear about this. My opinion is there is a low degree, if any, of asymptomatic spread. Sick person gives it to sick person. The Chinese have published a study, British Medical Journal, 11 million people. They try to find asymptomatic spread. You can't find it. And that's been, you know, one of important pieces of misinformation. When Senator Hall called a conference call of what should we do in the Capitol when we reopened, I said, you know what? You know what we do at Baylor? You walk in and they zap your temperature. You got a temperature check and go in. I mean, do we test everybody who walks into the Baylor hospital? No. Are they a lot sicker than everybody in this room? You better believe it. So why would we do something here at the Capitol that has absolutely positively no scientific rationale and then do it in this context? So my testimony as I sit here today is COVID-19 has always been a treatable illness. A very large study from McKinney, Texas, another one from New York City, show that when doctors treat patients early who are over age 50 with medical problems with a sequenced multi-drug approach with the available drugs, 4 to 6 drugs that are available to them, now the monoclonal antibodies are better, there's an 85% reduction in hospitalizations and death. 85%. 85%. I want you to remember that number. 85%. We have over 500,000 deaths in the United States. The preventable fraction could have been as high as 85% if our pandemic response would have been laser focused on the problem, the sick patient right in front of us. We're focused over here and focused over there and focused on masks and what have you. Laser focus, sick patient, treat them. We lost focus on the
more thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Slowly, we're seeing an increase in clouds and eventually some rain, but we're dry today. We'll turn out partly cloudy, breezy, cooler, 102. A few thundershowers tomorrow, 101 the high tomorrow. The sale's on at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Stock up for school with 40 to 70% off almost everything and deals from $13. Find it all at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com through August 10th. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
There's never been a better time to switch to Spectrum Mobile. You could save hundreds of dollars on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator today, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save by switching. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Spectrum Internet required. Savings may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save for details.
Listen right here on 560 AM KBOU from 8 to 9 AM every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law, where Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Spend Monday mornings 8 to 9 AM with Sean and Adam from Deason, Garner, and Hansen and learn how you can plan your estate using a will or a trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday morning from 8 to 9, right here on 560 AM KBOU.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you warm and comfortable quickly. Call 855-1-HOUR for a free service call with completed repair. Don't forget, we're
always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime. Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime.
Terms and conditions may apply. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
By now you've heard about MyPillow and how it can change your life. These pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want and they maintain their shape. And they're made in the USA. For a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $69.98. That's a $40 savings. King size are only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code ELDORADO. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code ELDORADO. Again, MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code ELDORADO. Don't want to go online? You can call us at 800-844-0483 and use promo code ELDORADO to get our best deal.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So we just heard about 12 minutes of testimony from Dr. Peter McCullough. He's one of the leading experts, if not the most qualified individual, to talk about this issue of how to treat COVID-19. However, he's been silenced on social media. He's been silenced on Twitter. He's been silenced on YouTube. And the question is why? So I've got in front of me a pamphlet. It's 23 pages long. And it talks about proven procedures to treat COVID-19. And it talks about the medicines that can be applied that are, some are over the counter, some are by prescription, that can be applied to treat COVID-19. Nobody's saying COVID-19 doesn't exist here.
Right.
Nobody in this room is saying that it's not a serious illness that should be taken very seriously. But the question is, why aren't we letting the doctors make the decisions on how to treat this instead of the politicians? Why are we succumbing to people that are bureaucrats that have been in office and have no place in making medical decisions or orders, executive or otherwise, to the American public about how to go about treating this disease? We've never had this before with the flu, well, at least in my lifetime.
And they're getting their advice from bureaucrats. Now, they may be doctors, too, but just a few of them that have other interests.
Yes, but you only see one of those faces. Fauci,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's never been the case with medical procedure to go forward in treating something, neither in legal procedure. You don't ever have one person that is it as far as the guidelines on how to approach a problem. You have a committee of individuals. You have a whole community of individuals. And this Dr. McCullough right here, he has published peer review articles. He's published more than anybody else. And he has published them, and they've been raved about in his peers about how thorough and how well he has done his research, yet on the social media aspect of it, it doesn't fit the narrative, and so he's been silenced. So the question is why? There's two things that the listeners of this show can take from this. Number one, there is treatment, and I'm going to post a link to the guide that he hands out on my website. Russ, I'll give it to you. You can post it on your website. If
okay.
You go to Life, Death, and the Law, you can certainly post it under that link there. And so I'm going to provide that out there. It's free for anybody that wants it. This isn't anything that we're trying to get any type of financial gain for. We're just trying to pass out information, and we're taking the information from the experts, from the doctors who have spent their lives studying in these types of diseases and the effects, instead of governors and senators and presidents.
See, we've already given our whole healthcare system over to the government. The government provides Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. I mean, we've already done this. So to make this the next leap is no big deal for the government. And we allow this to happen. And this is what happens. You end up with a Holocaust like this. And I'm sorry, but you're correct, Sean. We need to let the doctors deal with this. Yeah, we've got a disease here. We've got a virus that we've got to deal with. But to put it in the hands of the government is so incorrect. And I'm not sure why people run to the government. But that was the first thing we did. March 2020, what did we do? We allowed the governors, the president, you know, making all these decisions, shutting economies down, shutting businesses down, shutting people down. And now Dr. McCullough has been shut down. He has to now take anything he says on social media. He has to take it down within 48 hours. Otherwise, he's going to be prosecuted for something.
And YouTube has labeled him on a lot of his videos. They label it directly at the top, if they allow it to be played at all, as misinformation.
Yeah.
And this is just unprecedented, and especially a society that is founded on the principles of free speech. and the interchange of ideas. And also that a competitive atmosphere is the best arena in which to get the best result. Yeah. And so what we've done is we've eliminated all competition. We've turned it all over to the government bureaucrats, and we've seen how that's been done before. That is tyranny. That is communism. That's one set of people making all the decisions instead of allowing the people collectively to get the information that they believe is relevant to making choices in their own lives and applying the principles of liberty and free choice to get the treatment that they feel is most appropriate for themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking a side on whether a vaccine is good or bad. In
right.
fact, I've had the vaccine. Russ, you've had COVID.
I have.
I haven't had COVID, and I haven't been vaccinated.
And so Howard, you haven't had
libertarian.
COVID? Yeah, and so...
Well, that's...
He said
see,
neither.
Become a libertarian, then you get protected.
That's right.
And so we've got a couple of different opinions here, and I'm more than happy to hear why you've elected to go the route that you have. Now, Russ, you had COVID.
Right.
Why did you elect not to get the vaccine?
Because I'm... According to the research I've read and talked to, I'm better protected with the natural antibodies than I ever would be for the others. And there's been complication for those who have gotten the vaccine. Why would I risk it? And in Europe, they actually take the existence of the antibodies the same as they do the vaccine. They accept them both exact as equals. It's only in this country that they don't even want to talk about it. They don't say they don't. They don't say they do. They just don't.
And Dr. McCullough, he specifically said that. He said, if you've had COVID and you have the antibodies, you are far better off than being vaccinated. Right. And if you have the antibodies, there is no reason, there is no clinical study that shows that you're going to be even more protected by receiving the vaccine. In fact, there are some negative
right.
impacts and side effects from the vaccine that you don't need to risk by getting the vaccine. So just based on what he's saying, and I'm going to have to base my confidence in the experts here, I would say don't get the vaccine, right? Right. Now, I've never had COVID that I know of, but I went ahead and got the vaccine, and I deal with a lot of people that are elderly and some that are sick. I don't want to expose any of my clients to it, and I don't have a political dog in the fight. And so it truly wasn't political. I just felt if there's a vaccine available and if it can help me prevent it, and at that time it was still widely believed that asymptomatic people could potentially spread the disease. And so I went ahead and got the vaccine. I don't have any side effects that I recollect. My arm was sore for a good week, but that was that.
That's normal.
Now, Howard, you haven't got the vaccine. What's your reasoning behind that?
The research that I've been reading about the vaccine is the CDC itself doesn't even, this vaccine, and I put it in quotes because it doesn't apply to the definition that the CDC says what a vaccine is. Mm-hmm. It's more of a medical therapy experimental treatment. In other words, the CDC hasn't totally figured out exactly how to treat this thing. And so why am I going to listen to the CDC? I'd rather listen to people like Dr. McCullough and other doctors. Dr. Field, is that her name? I'm not sure, but there's other doctors that I read that put out, you know, credible, what I would consider credible information, because they're doctors. They're professionals in their field, and they're well known, and they're well documented. So that's why I'm not interested in getting the vaccine.
And
now I have to tell you, I did. You know, I'll get a flu bug from time to time, mm-hmm. and I had one. And I'm
did
trying
you ever
to remember
get the flu vaccine before?
No.
Okay.
And you know, I couldn't shake it. I don't know. I guess it lasted about 4 or 5 weeks, and then I was over it. And I get kind of frustrated when I don't get well real fast.
Uh-huh.
But it took me about 5 weeks to get over the flu bug. And I don't know if it was COVID, but that's what COVID is. COVID is a flu bug.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it is. That's what all the professionals say it is. So I'm going to have to believe the professionals. But I'm not going to believe government agencies. I'm just not going to do it because they seem to have an alternative motive for doing
that. That's the question I have to ask. Why do they have this narrative?
Well, you have to understand the nature of government. The nature of government is force, control.
Yep.
That's what it does. I mean, the government is not us. A lot of people think, oh, the government's us. The government's not us. The government is legalized force. And so that's what they're in business for.
And they don't like admitting that they're wrong. And you know what? We're all wrong from time to time. I think I've taken the wrong position on specifically this disease, COVID-19, because there was information all about it going one way or another. Mm-hmm. And 1 week I said I felt, you know, there's a very low death rate. And the next week I see a dear friend get sick and another friend die. And then I changed my opinion on it, right? Because I wasn't getting the true, accurate information from the doctors and the physicians out there. But what Dr. McCullough is saying is that the reason they're getting so darn sick is because doctors have been blacklisted for treating this disease. Mm-hmm. And instead of just applying proper medical procedure, they're being required to tell their patients, go home. Yeah. Now, if a dentist, saw somebody with an abscess, and he says, go home, right?
Malpractice.
Malpractice, right? If a doctor had somebody come in with an appendicitis, and he says, go home, again, malpractice. But that's exactly what the treatment protocol was, or the non-treatment protocol was, for COVID, and that's what Dr. McCullough is saying. And if we had had this information from the beginning, and he said it was available. It was available as of early as April 2020 that we could treat this very effectively. But what happened was we had a president that the media loved to smear and to throw mud at, and no matter what his position was, whether it was credible or not, they would take the opposite viewpoint. And he came out and he said, hydroxychloroquine could be something that we could treat this with.
Correct.
And then automatically, boom, there's no treatment. And we have to demonize anything that he says is possible to treat this with. Well, he said that like in February of 2020. Yeah,
because there was already a doctor in New York, a Jewish country doctor, that has saved 300 patients. And Trump actually had him visit and talk to him and said, look, this regimen of zinc and hydroxychloroquine and a CPAC, you know, has been very effective and all that and saved lives. So he mentioned it, that it would be a great deal for everyone to know about, and then they killed it.
So
and it's illegal in our state to get it.
So you know what's funny about that?
With all the pundits going against him, they have a motive. They have an ulterior motive for this, and that is to get political power, to take Trump out of power and to get political power for themselves. And if they were to be proven wrong, then I think that would have really taken away from their agenda.
Yeah.
But they had to allow themselves to be proved right. So what they did is they allowed the American people to suffer. And I think what they saw was collateral damage.
Yeah.
They thought, listen, we are better. Our policies are better in the end. And so this is an appropriate means to an end. And we are the collateral damage.
Now, a lot of people might think that doctors like Dr. McCullough, they're professing, you know, what makes you think that they're all correct, and what makes you think that they're all right and they're so knowledgeable? How do you know they're not putting out propaganda and false information and blah blah? Well, doctors have always prescribed. Whenever I got the flu, I was always prescribed hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak.
Okay.
Whenever I got sick.
This isn't new.
This is not a news item. But all of a sudden, like you guys said, all of a sudden, this becomes a propaganda thing from the government. I don't know why people run to the government and believe the government so much. We need to really investigate everything that we hear, whether it's coming from the government or whether it's coming from Dr. McCullough. I don't care who it's coming from.
Well, yeah. And quite honestly, you look at their motives, too, because the government, I'm more skeptical. Because oftentimes there are ulterior motives. They want.
Oh yeah.
Their bread and butter is power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all about it. That's all government's about.
The more power they have, the more important they become, and everybody wants to become important, and they want to retain their job, and their relevance, and so these individuals in power, they want to perpetuate that power. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a scared population that is looking for any type of solution and you control the narrative, then your objective is to maintain them scared and hysterical and keep the real truth and the dialogue going back and forth about what's going on out of the mainstream media. And they've been extremely successful about it. And the real irritating part is we as an American society have allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have become too dependent on very concentrated sources of information like CNN, like NBC, like CBS, like Google and Twitter and Facebook. And what we need to do is we need to now take the power back by allowing alternative ways to communicate and or at least holding these companies accountable if they're going to filter the information that is broadcast over their media sources, then they have to be held accountable when it's false information. So I'm all about Google allowing totally free speech and to go without any libel or without any liability.
Editing. Yeah, no editing.
Yeah, anonymity.
Yeah.
But they can't control the dialogue and then still get immunity from the lawsuits. Because what they've done here is they've actually caused hundreds of thousands of deaths, if not millions, because people around the world, it's into the millions as who has suffered and died because of this disease, and how many people rely on Google around the world, not just the U.S.
And why did Google make all these decisions like this? Is there something or some entity is putting pressure on them the way I see it? Because why? What do they care what goes on Google? Why does Google care what anybody says on their own platform? I mean, they could, and they could, and they could say, okay, no, we're not going to have this speech. All right, that's fine and dandy, but there's no competition against Google. And the reason that is because government controls the airways. Okay? They make all the rules. They get to decide who gets on the air and who doesn't get on the air. In other words, we don't have freedom in this country. It goes back to government regulation and control of speech and controlling those airways. You have to have a permit. You have to have a license. You have to, you know, this radio station couldn't work if it didn't have government approval to operate. And this is the problem in this country.
Well, the government also, with the internet was supposed to break that control and was supposed to blow it wide open and say, okay, now there is no harnessing any more free speech because anybody can get on the internet and publish anything they want. And that is true to a certain extent. However, with in large companies like Google, you control most of the information that gets transferred back and forth. We got to take a break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
At H&R Block, tax time means max refund time. And with virtual tax prep, our experts can help you get your refund from home. Stay in your sweatpants. Just snap some pics of your docs and a tax pro does the work. Your maximum refund is guaranteed or your money back. Virtual tax prep, one of the many ways Block has your back.
All tax situations are different. Not everyone gets a refund.
So when you need a hand with your taxes, H&R Block is here for you. Drop off your taxes today at their offices in Yuma, the Foothills, or San Luis, and let their experienced tax professionals help get your taxes won.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years, and we're here to remind you that, yeah, we got tires for that. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations, or use the tire finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com to choose the perfect tire or make your appointment. Free pickup and drop off for a hassle-free experience. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
Summer heat is on the way. Time to check or replace your air conditioning system. This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. Yes, new systems are still 30 to 40% more efficient than a unit 10 years old. So call Quick Refrigeration, your trusted technician, keeping you cool since 1955. Also, experts in plumbing and tankless water heaters. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
Quick refrigeration. Quick refrigeration. We get you cool quick.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I do estate planning. So what am I doing here talking about COVID? Well, it's really affected all of us. And first and foremost, I'm a disciple of Christ. I want to do what is right. I want truth to be exposed. Then I'm American citizen, okay? I am a diehard patriot of our country, and I follow the principles of our founding fathers of this country, and that is that there are three things that are rights, that are inalienable rights, that are endowed by our divine creator, and that is life, liberty, and the ability to possess property, to exercise our liberty and enhance our talents. And when those rights are compromised by the government, then I feel like it's my duty to come out and to expose that it is occurring, and to encourage the rest of the community to wake up and oppose this suppression of speech and this withdrawal of liberty and an ability to hold property by the government, and that's what we're doing. Finally, I'm an estate planning attorney. Now, that's what I do to provide for my family. And I want people who have earned any type of legacy, whether it's property or finances, to pass it on to their family with the least amount of government intervention possible. That's the type of planning that I do. I want them, most of the time, they trust their family members to make decisions for them if they're incapacitated. Most of the time, it's family members that they want to divide up their assets to either the entities that they cherish the most or to their children and to their descendants. And so I empower their family members to do that rather than allowing it to go according to a structured statute that has been put in place by the state that is the default method if you don't have proper planning in place. So that's why I'm on the radio, is because I'm very passionate about those things. Now, I want to talk about a moving talk that I heard yesterday. It was from a 16-year-old kid, and it was in church yesterday. So I'm sitting in church, and he gets up to speak. And in our church, basically, there's four speakers at each general meeting, and it's two adult speakers and two youth speakers, and he was one of the youth speakers, okay? So he gets up to speak, and his topic was about materialism and how our drive to obtain more and more material objects is insatiable as human beings, and we need to recognize that, and we need to curb that in order to obtain true happiness. But on the other end, we also have a drive to improve our talents and to become self-sufficient, and that's a good thing. So we have to recognize why we have that drive, because it is, we're born with it. It's a divine attribute that we have, but we have to understand where it's good and where it's bad. And he says where it's bad is when we continue to try to get the best car out there, the best boat out there, the best clothes out there, and so on and so forth, the best house. He says, but where it's good is when we're trying to provide for ourselves and be self-sufficient. And so he's talking about a job that he's working at right now, or at least did over the summer before school started. He goes to high school, and he's 16 years old, and he's talking about working with this chain link fence. And he's like, I hate chain link. It's miserable to work with. It tears up your hands. If you wear gloves, it tears up your gloves. It catches your clothes. It rips them. You're rolling it up. It pulls you over the top. And he's talking about this. And I, for one, know his family. I know his father. I know his father worked really hard as a teenager, and then as a young adult going through dental school, and worked literally 18-hour days to put himself through dental school, and is a very successful professional in the community. He's successful on every level. He's successful spiritually. He's successful with his family life. He's successful in the community and the influence that he has, and financially, he's very well set. And so he could provide for his 16-year-old needs, right, for his child's needs. And his kid doesn't need to financially go out and work for an independent contractor in the community in 115-degree heat working with this chain link fence. But why does he see it as a necessity? Because he understands that it's not the fence that gets put up or the work that gets done by the 16-year-old that is the end product that we're looking to obtain. It's not even the paycheck that he takes home. It's the lessons of learning to work hard and be self-sufficient, to contribute to society, to make sure you're not pulling from society as a dependent individual that will never provide for yourself. And the 16-year-old, of course, is driven by the want to provide gas for his truck, right? And his dad's not going to give him that money.
It's a good want.
And yeah, he wants to be able to go out and go on dates and pay for those dates. And his dad's not going to give him that money. His dad could, but he decides not to. And the 16-year-old now is realizing he's better off for that because he can provide it for himself. And the lesson that he's learning to work hard and be self-sufficient will pay dividends back 1,000-fold over his lifetime, not only to himself and his family, not only to his individual happiness, but to the community that he lives in. And that's what our government, or at least those in power in our government right now, don't understand. They feel like if people have the means, that those means should be used to be given to those who do not have it. Now, number one, that's immoral and unethical because it's stealing, right?
Right.
It's taking from those that have the means. Now, Howard, I think that you've got an opinion on this.
No.
About taking from those that have and giving to those that have not.
I think you stated it very well.
And, right, it's unethical. It's immoral. It's not our government's role to do that.
No, that's not the function of the government. The function of the government is stated very succinctly in the Declaration of Independence. If you just read the Declaration of Independence, you'll see what the function of the government is and what our responsibility is. You mentioned it, Sean. When we see that the government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, specifically protecting our inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then it's our responsibility to change the government, to get it to change. Not to keep accepting and going and demanding that the government provide for us.
Right.
It's not anywhere in there. It's really, really a shame that people have learned that basically they've learned that the government's job is to give us everything.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody. You know, the vast majority of people, I think, believe what you had just stated. I really do. But we are so dependent. Everybody is so dependent. I'm even dependent through my Social Security check, for crying out loud, on the government. And I would advocate getting rid of Social Security. I wouldn't have any problem with getting rid of it. It's not right. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. But the point is, government is force. We already talked about that. We really have to understand the nature of government. And when we finally do that, when we recognize it for what it is, that it's very dangerous, just like we recognize fire. The vast majority of people, I think everybody on the planet, recognizes fire as being very dangerous. But it's very useful. But it's very dangerous. Same thing goes for government. It's very dangerous. It's very useful, but it's very dangerous.
Yeah, as long as we're in control.
And we need to have that same recognition that we have of fire of government. That's all.
And so what's happening here, and what I took away from this 16-year-old's talk yesterday was he gave a contrast. He talked about his family a little bit. He talked about his own work ethic. And then he talked about an uncle that he had. Now, his family, for the most part, all that I've met, and I know them fairly well, they are wonderful people, very, very hard workers and very productive citizens. But apparently he has an uncle that doesn't want to work hard to supply the needs of his family. And that causes a lot of strife within his family. And that's true on a family level, it's true on a community level, it's true on a state mm-hmm. level, and it's true on a national level. Yeah. And so the principles that we want to espouse here is that we do want to work hard to obtain the things that we want. But material things will never provide happiness. The skill of obtaining them will enable us to provide for ourselves, and that provides satisfaction and true joy.
Two real quick comments about your 16-year-old. Very smart. The parents are very smart. Two things. One, not becoming dependent upon what's already been created, the wealth of the family. Okay, because number one, that could evaporate overnight. There's nothing that says that thing's... Number two, and you mentioned it too, being able to create your own wealth. That is critical, because now you have self-worth and self-confidence.
Thank you. That's all the time that we have for today. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.